Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
The Ray O'Donoghue, who's one of the directors of the Donegal Music Festival C Sessions, has been appointed Dublin City's nighttime economy czar. And it's all in a bid to try and really just support the cultural and creative life of Dublin City Centre over the next number of years. I want to know, though, what do you want from the nighttime economy czar? Like, what do you think needs to change? Adam is with us on the line today. Adam, you're a student in Dublin. What would you like to see the nighttime economy advisor do?
Yeah, I think it's a really nice step in a good direction. But I think there's a fair bit that could be done. I'd love to see like grants be allocated to young event organisers, because I think, you know, a lot of people get into that type of thing in college through societies and stuff like that, but they don't really continue it on after college. I think it'd be really cool to see like the fun things that people create if they were able to have that financial backing. I'd love to see night lines be extended, so, you know, you're actually able to get home after a night out without having to pay like 60 quid for a taxi. I'd like places to stay open later, and then obviously, you know, things to be cheaper in general. But I think, you know, there's a lot that can be done, and I think it's nice that we're starting to work towards that.
How, like, you know, as a student, what changes would you like to see, Adam, to the nightlife in Dublin? Like, do you want it to be a little bit more like the kind of European model, where it's not all necessarily based around gigs, clubs and pubs?
Yeah, I think more variety is always better. Like, I think especially nowadays, I think people want their, like, everything different. Everyone has their own kind of circle and thing that they're into. So a bit more variety would be nice. But I think as well, just a bit more support for you know, the up-and-coming artists or event organisers would be fantastic, because those are the people in the next few years who are going to be organising or running the really big events. I just don't think we necessarily really invest in that early stage of people's careers.
Okay.
So I think that'd be a really cool thing to see.
Robbie is with us as well, Adam. Robbie, you're a DJ. What benefit do you think the nighttime economy czar can bring to the capital?
Yeah, I think your previous caller is bang on in terms of the supports that could be offered to younger promoters and trying to encourage like a new generation of event organisers. I've been involved in a campaign called Give Us a Night for the last 6 years, and we've been trying to basically kind of encourage just that, really, like the use of kind of spaces that are available to us, you know, publicly funded.
You there, Robbie? Have I lost Robbie? Yeah, we'll just try and reconnect with Robbie. Stay with us for a moment. 087 1400 106 is the number. Like, how do you see the Dublin nightlife? Is it a little bit more maybe like the German or French, Italian models? Like, what do you want from it? Or maybe you think it's fine as it is. Eddie is with us on the line as well in Meath. Eddie, what do you want to see the nighttime? How are you, advisor?
I'm very well. I'm very well. Happy Friday to you and all that kind of stuff. No, I would like to see it kind of, I suppose the promotion is the key word in relation to this there, because I suppose the bang for the buck is kind of trying to attract younger people back into the event sector. There's an awful lot of young people out there nowadays that are really kind of veering away from the traditional model of events and going to the online platforms, things along those lines. That's really a huge draw for young people now, getting involved in the online platforms that are out there. As I said, I'm a dad of a couple of teenagers as well, and one of them really doesn't enjoy going into traditional venues and pubs and clubs, things along those lines. It's not for her. I remember one time she said, "There, the only thing in one of those pubs is only old people." So it's kind of got to that stage there now. So I think one of the key things that's going to have to be is to promote a vision of the entertainment and event sector that is engaging for younger people there, because they don't want what we wanted years ago, I suppose, as an oldie myself there. They're more interested in a vibrancy, kind of something that's going to really attract them in, as that's in line with what they value out there in their particular universe currently.
You probably see that, Robbie, as a DJ. Like, you know, the socialising has changed, and that kind of teenage, younger generation coming up now, like they won't socialise in the same way that you and I did.
I think it has changed, but I think the principles do remain the same. Like, I think something that, again, you know, through work we've been doing, the campaign we've been trying to highlight, is like the lack of access to dancing spaces. And like, so
something that we, as in, like, I think even looking not just for our generation, Andrea, maybe what we might have experienced. I'm still going out myself a little bit, so I don't.
Yes, so do I. So like, I go out. I don't know what I'm talking about.
But I would say, like, you know, something I think is really important to highlight is how, you know, dancing used to be a really important part of the social fabric of young people's lives in Ireland. Even historically, like, you know, something that we've tried to highlight with the campaign is the loss of nightclubs in the country.
That yeah, well, that's what I mean when I talk about that sort of, you know, when you're like every Saturday night was sort of pub, nightclub, like that element has kind of changed.
Yeah, no, it's changed. But what I mean to say is that we've lost a lot. And really, there's a lot of reasons for those losses. You know, things that need to change in terms of the cost of insurance, our licensing regimes, the kind of strictness of our opening hours, all these type of things that impinge on the ways in which businesses function. But I suppose if we look even historically back to like the 50s, in the 50s in Ireland, there was actually over 1,200 licensed dance halls in the country. Now we have 89 nightclubs left in the country. So, you know, at the end of the day, we do have to look to the future as to how we can rebuild that kind of infrastructure and the access to those kind of spaces. Something that I'd be very interested in is the use of like publicly funded spaces that are largely unused after 9 o'clock and how they can be brought into use after midnight. National cultural institutions, which actually can and have the ability to open late if they wanted to. There's actually a lot of those available to us in Dublin. And I think that that can kind of speak to the different types of events that can appeal to young people. I think something that I'm also very interested in is how young people's lives nowadays are actually dominated by digital social technologies, and that's the real main competitor. So like to try and pull people off their screens, to get them out of their houses, you kind of do need to, you know, present them with a very attractive offering. I think the use of kind of funded spaces, cultural spaces that are currently is not really in use in the nighttime economy, that's a real avenue where we can, like, you know, provide space. Because at the end of the day, there is a real deficit of space. And it's the access to space, I think, particularly for event organisers, that is really creating a real gridlock in the provision of events.
Adam, would most of your friends, is there an appetite to go out, we'll say, every Friday or maybe a Saturday night and do the kind of the pub and the nightclub scene? Or is the preference to save up and maybe go away to a concert for two nights instead, do a festival like C-Sessions, Electro Picnic, whatever it is?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to say honestly no. Like me and a lot of my friends work, especially even on the weekends as well, after finishing up in college or finishing up in our jobs. So we don't really have an opportunity to go out if we're in work in the morning or, you know, if we're tired from work. So if we are going out, it'd just be, you know, somewhere quiet, and then occasionally we'll go out on a proper night out. But I think it's just, it's about investment, I guess. Like, if we're going to be spending money to go on a night out anyway, and we're going to be giving up time that we could be spending working or doing anything else, it's just better spent on one big thing rather than a lot of small things, for us at least.
Eddie, are your teenage, like your own teenagers in your house, are they sort of at the same mindset? It's about that one big experience rather than every, we'll say, weekend?
With my gang now, I'd say that they're more looking at almost abroad. They're looking at kind of when can I get over to kind of Salou or Barcelona or places like that. But I would think now, just in kind of in relation to some of the what the guys are talking about, their event space and things along those lines, some places are doing incredibly innovative approaches to this sort of problem there. I know Cossey Farm in County Meath down there, place that does Pharmaphobia. They do a festival called the Four Barns, and I was actually out there last night, and they have an entire farmyard converted into an event space with four different barns running DJs simultaneously, and the kids absolutely love that. And that's been incredibly creative with event space and bringing in young people into it there, because they're going to be the future of the event sector. If you don't tag them or kind of hoop them at this stage of the day, when they grow into the adults who are going to be able to spend money, they're not going to be looking at events in Ireland as their form of entertainment. They're going to be looking to Spain, South of France, the Mediterranean, things along those lines. So it is important that the investment is there. The promotion is there to attract them in there. And there is a support there that they can feel safe and secure in the venues they go to, knowing that they're going to have the opportunity to get home safe and sound.
The safety element of it actually is a big point coming in here on WhatsApp today. Like Cathal and Ashton Sean is making the point. I would definitely go out a lot more if I was assured that I could get home safely. So it absolutely is, it seems to be, a big consideration for people. Another texter making the point, the nighttime economy isn't just in Dublin. I know, I totally get that. But the reason we're talking about this today is because the nightmare of Dublin has been appointed. And that's the reason we're having the very conversation. Another listener, though, makes the point, I think a nightmare is absolute madness. What a bizarre idea, says this listener. What about you, Jackie? Like, what do you want the new nighttime advisor to do for Dublin City?
Well, it was something which we brought to the Justice Committee in relation to the alcohol bill, that we wanted to find more spaces for our youth, you know, to enjoy, to have entertainment, to have various events going on, but to be in a non-alcoholic surrounding and that. But again, going back to the safety thing in Dublin is a major concern. Even going to the venue and coming home from the venue, you know, that would be a major problem. But definitely we need more spaces that are non-alcoholic. It doesn't have to revolve around drink.
So just different type of cultural events then that are just even booze-free, yeah, Jackie?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back years ago in my grandparents' and my father's time, I mean, there was gigs going on in halls and stuff. It was all a mineral bar. And you'd get maybe a cup of tea or whatever, but it was based around minerals. And they enjoyed it. It doesn't always have to be around alcohol.
Yeah, maybe that has changed then again, gone, you know, through the years. Like, I'm trying to think back of even my time in college in my 20s. To be honest, I probably wouldn't have had much interest in going to a, you know, booze-free nightclub or event. But I definitely get the sense that that has probably turned and come round again.
It has to change. You can go out and enjoy yourself without having alcohol.
The problem isn't young people. They don't want to go out, says this texter. Sure, they can't afford it. Like £7 for a pint of beer in Dublin alone, €50 for the taxi home. The point about the transport, Adam, that is a big concern then, is it, clearly for people?
Yeah, it's a really big issue, to be fair. Like a lot of the Nightline buses, people are almost scared of them because some of the carry-on that just got one on them. And the taxis as well, they're just so expensive. Like if you're But like I know it sounds really sad in your 20s, but if you're sitting down and budgeting to go for a night out or go to like a gig or a DJ thing, you know, you're looking at a lot of money. And that's even if you go and you don't drink. Mm. And let's be honest, we are. But you're spending, again, that kind of 40, 50 quid in a taxi. And then that's if you get one.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's been a few times where I have to walk home from town. I'm walking like an hour or two back to my home just because there's no taxis there.
Yeah.
There's too many people coming out all at the same time and they're all looking to get taxis and then fights are starting over, you know.
What about you, John? What do you think needs to change?
Well, same thing. There's no taxis, no buses, no Lewis service. Basically, expensive drinks. And you can't blame the promoters because the promoters are being hammered with insurance and rents and just everything is against guys giving a nighttime entertainment. Like it's just and for anybody, like they're talking about extending nighttime hours till 5-6 in the morning, but like then people would be complaining, oh, do you know what, somebody never turned up for work on a Monday morning because they were out till 5 or 6 in the morning. And like it's just, they're trying to be like Europe, but like Europe is an entity where you see these 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning nightclubs. It's normally in party areas, resorts that are going on. For some reason, they want to attract, if you get tourists in, yeah, by all means. But they need to put on some sort of transport for them as well.
Absolutely. I would think that the transport is a major, major element to this conversation. I think Ray O'Donoghue has his work cut out for him. As I said, he's been appointed the new festival director, or he is, sorry, previously a festival director. He's been appointed the new nighttime mayor of Dublin. What about you, Chris, finally? Do you think it's going to be a tough job, or what would you like to see change?
There's so much needs to change, Andrea. The night economy has just died in the country over the last 10 years or so. Between insurance rates and nightclubs having to close because they can't run events, I used to be involved in running gigs around the country as well, and just can't run them anymore. They're too expensive. But the main, especially in Dublin, one thing I've noticed recently since I started working in Dublin again, is if I wanted to hang around with the lads after work and have a couple of pints, the last train I can get home to Julianstown or to Gormanstown is about 20 to 12. Mm. Now, the lads are obviously, the lads who live in Dublin, if they're going for a few drinks, they're going to stay out till after 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, if not later. So my choice is I can go for a couple of drinks and then go home early and then sit on an overcrowded train where everybody else is drunk and squeezed in, which I did a couple of weeks ago and was not very enjoyable, I have to say. Literally sitting on a very overcrowded train that managed to stop in Kilbarrick for 40 minutes and didn't move anywhere and arrived into Gorman and spent an hour and a half late. So when you're looking at things like that, I mean, what is your option? If you want to go out in Dublin, you can have a half a night out and go home early. Or if you're going to a gig or something, you're going to have to try and find a couch to sleep on or pay 150 quid plus a night.
You do well to get it.
That's if you're lucky enough to find something that cheap. Like,
no, I totally get it. Totally get it, Chris. When you...
I would, I'm not a big drinker, but I would stay in town a night or two every 2 weeks or so if I could get home.
Yeah. But that's, I think that is probably one of the biggest elements actually to this job.
I don't understand why they can't run. Why can't they run a half two and a half three train north going down the Drogheda line? Like,
yeah, I presume the rail and bus providers would say it's getting staff, paying staff to do it. Do they even want to do it?
But every other people around Ireland who work nights and don't have a choice. If you want, people are dying for work, people are looking to try and earn more money. Give them the option to do it. Some people might want it, but people will work nights. I've worked nights before.
Yeah.
And I know lots of people who would be more than willing to work nights. But the other side of that is, Andrea, is they close half the trains on the weekend. Last weekend, for the Easter weekend, like I do tours in Dublin. I go up and down early and come back late. And I work around Stephen's Green. Saturday and Sunday, no trains go further down than Connolly, so I had to get an earlier train on a Saturday and Sunday and walk half an hour to Stephen's Green rather than getting the full connection to Pierce that I would Monday to Friday. I run less trains on the weekend. So how are people meant to get in and out? Every time there's a bank holiday, they close half the trains again as well on top of that.
You'd think rather than putting more on.
You think they should be? You think at the weekend, if they want to encourage people to come in and have a bit of fun in the city, that they'd run a few extra services, not cut them like half.
Barry Kenny here with us during the week actually talking about, you know, the plans, and maybe that'll change with the new carriages coming on board, or the Dart expansion or that, and the more availability then of those carriages. But I don't know. I mean, for me, and I've...
Well, for people living in Dublin, but the Dart's never going to go past Balbriggan.
No, I get that, but I think some of the rest of them...
Or in Gormanstown or Dundalk or anywhere else, or even people down who have lived in Wexford and Wicklow and stuff. That's not going to go past
Bray. No, I think the idea, sorry, was just that some of the older carriages would then go on to the express, the nationwide network, and that then would obviously increase the supply. But listen, Chris, I take your point completely. I'm always complaining about the fact that the Lewis and the bus and the train services do not run late enough at all, and particularly at the weekends, and I think you're dead right about that. Listener here says Dublin at night isn't safe. There isn't anything that helps to keep things under control, and prices are crazy. Temple Bar also out of control price-wise and full of rough people, says this listener. Eamon makes the point, if there was lots of people looking for booze-free nights out opportunities, then venues would be there. Entrepreneurs still fill the gap looking for profit. I think there's as many people out there who want alcohol-free venues as, there's as many people who want them as this chap might suggest. 087 1400 106 is the number. How do you want the new nighttime economy czar of Dublin City Centre to change the socialising outlook of our capital city?
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.